The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Abraham Donko
and Rosemary Gazy.
In the headlines, Attorney General says maritime dispute between Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire should not be misconstrued as tension. President Mahama asks multinationals to establish manufacturing facilities in Africa to process raw materials. Vice President Emisa Arthur lauds street naming exercise so far. Nigeria military confirms freeing some kidnapped Chibok girls, and China pledges a reduction in carbon emission in support of actions against climate change. But first, the summary with Rosemary Gazy.
The Attorney General Maria Tabria Piaopong says the maritime dispute between Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire should not be misconstrued as tension. This follows Ghana's lawsuit against Cote d'Ivoire on its territorial waters in the exploration of oil. Speaking at the Meet the Press series in Accra, the Attorney General gave the assurance that any award from the International Tribunal arbitrating the maritime boundary dispute between the two countries will certainly favor Ghana. President John Mahama has tasked multinational companies to make a conscious effort to establish manufacturing facilities in Africa to help process the continent's raw materials. This, he believes, will in effect offer sustainable job opportunities. President Mahama made the appeal at a panel discussion on employment and decent work for inclusive development organized by the International Labour Organization in New York. Vice President Kwesi Mr. Arthur has expressed satisfaction with the street naming exercise so far, with particular reference to the work done in the Wa municipality. The Vice President noted it is very crucial the national street naming and house numbering exercise is completed by the end of the year to appreciate its socio-economic relevance. And Nigeria military has confirmed the freeing of some of the Chibok girls kidnapped by Boko Haram in April. The Nigerian Army spokesman Brigadier General Chris Olukolade said the exercise is ongoing but did not specify the number of girls freed who are reported to be currently held in a barracks.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
The news in detail. The Attorney General Marietta Apiaibrupong has downplayed reports of rising tension between Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire after Ghana filed a lawsuit against Cote d'Ivoire. Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire have had issues with territorial waters in the exploration of oil. This comes after failed negotiations between the two countries in the past few years, and as a result of continued receipt of threatening letters from Cote d'Ivoire to oil companies operating in the disputed area. Speaking at the Meet the Press series, the Attorney General gave the assurance that any award from the International Tribunal arbitrating the maritime boundary dispute between Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire will certainly favor Ghana. Dres Jeche reports.
Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire's overlapping claims on their maritime boundaries generate uncertainty on the part of domestic and foreign partners in relation to oil and gas exploration and production. There has been about 10 rounds of bilateral, unsuccessful meetings between the two countries on the issue. The arbitration proceedings opted by Ghana is to address the issue equitably in accordance with international law, which is the UN Convention on the Law of the Sea, UNCLOS. The Attorney General and Minister of Justice, Marita Apiaibrupong, talks about the arbitration proceedings.
Ghana has commenced the arbitration proceedings with a desire to strengthen the relationship between the two countries by firmly and finally establishing the maritime boundaries. In this way, a situation of certainty will be enhanced, offering further reassurance to Ghana's international partners in the petroleum industry that the boundary is where Ghana says it is. The arbitration will proceed under Part 15 and 97 of the Law of the Sea Convention. It will take place before a tribunal of 5 arbitrators, consisting of 1 appointed by each party and 3 by mutual agreement, that's between Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire.
Mrs. Briopon explained during question time that the two countries are not at loggerheads with each other.
I think we should all understand that this is not a hostile act. If we have been unable to resolve a particular matter, all we are doing is seeking another forum where the matter can be determined to bring certainty and finality to the issue.
The Minister for Energy and Petroleum, Emmanuel Amakosibua said the maritime dispute has affected the oil industry.
Cote d'Ivoire's claim affects some of the discoveries that we have. So I think this direction will bring certainty to really clear the way for investor confidence in our basin.
The arbitration proceedings might last about 3 years.
Joins us reporting.
An expert in peace and security and a research fellow at the Legon Center for International Affairs and Diplomacy, Dr. Ken Ahosu, says Ghana must be ready to engage in talks with neighboring Togo and Nigeria, who may lay claim to its territorial waters following the suit against Cote d'Ivoire. Speaking on Behind the News on the implications in diplomatic circles if the maritime dispute between Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire is not handled well, Dr. Ahosu said Ghana will have to come to a sub-regional agreement with her neighbors, linking it to history. Dr. Ahosu explained that irrespective of how much a country extends its boundaries in anticipation of an oil exploration, there would be the need for dialogue with its territorial neighbors at some point. He spoke to Agatha Samoa.
I can't say that they've not ironed out their differences, but I think the processes that they have embarked upon are the right processes, because cross-boundary natural resources are such that it must be managed in a manner that there should be precedence and there should be finality, in the sense that no matter how you look at the resources, its management, there are the various levels of its management, economic management, environmental management, and livelihood management aspect of it. There is the need to manage the crisis between the two countries in such a manner that issues should not be swept under the carpet, that these issues must be raised at the appropriate level. I think what is happening is the appropriate thing. As of now, Togo has not raised any issue with Ghana. As of now, Nigeria has not raised any issue with Ghana. As of now, Benin has not raised any issue with Ghana. But if you are well abreast with what the oil industry and the enlargement of the continental shelf of countries to exploit oil in the on the higher seas, eventually we will have to come to a sub-regional agreement with all the countries, because studies have shown that no matter how one country extends its continental shelf in anticipation of oil exploration, somehow, whether it is perpendicular, horizontal, or whatever the people are talking about, there is bound to be issues that our neighbors have to be involved in it. For example, fishing. Fishing is a borderless job in West Africa, whereby Ghanaians go as far as to Senegal, Benin, Liberia, Cameroon, and all places to fish. But with the oil industry, means that this is going to be interrupted. There will not be this borderless flow or movement of fishermen. In the same way, when we talk of environmental management of the oil production, given what has happened within the Gulf of Guinea, even with a developed country like United States of America, no one expects that, but it's a very, very possible issue that can occur. Eventually, Ghana must bring on Ivory Coast and the rest. The good thing is that the whole of West Africa has come to terms of it and realized that the best and appropriate means of managing this is for ECOWAS to evolve a comprehensive system of managing this continental shelf or sea borders and that sort of thing. But I think why Ghana has moved this to the United Nations, particularly the United Council Law on the Sea, is that ECOWAS does not have that finality in international jurisdiction over such maritime borders. So whatsoever they will be doing may not give them what we call finality.
Dr. Ken Ahosu is an expert in peace and security and a research fellow at the Legon Center for International Affairs and Diplomacy, LESIAD.
President John Mahama has made a strong case for multinational companies to consciously add value and process Africa's raw materials to create sustainable jobs. He was speaking during a panel discussion on employment and decent work for inclusive development organized by the International Labour Organization in New York. Other panelists were the Chilean President, Mrs. Michelle Bachelet, President of Costa Rica, Luis Guillermo Solis, the Director General of ILO, Guy Ryder, and the Chairman and CEO of Coca-Cola Company, Mukhtar Kent.
And President Barack Obama has urged world leaders to make concerted efforts in tackling climate change, saying American efforts to cut greenhouse gas pollution alone cannot accomplish the goal. Mr. Obama said this in his address at the climate summit at the UN headquarters. Mr. Obama emphasized the importance of taking ambitious actions, calling for the world's leading economies to move past fears that tackling climate change could hurt growth.
Terrorism, instability, inequality, disease. There's one issue that will define the contours of this century more dramatically than any other, and that is the urgent and growing threat of a changing climate. The alarm bells keep ringing. Our citizens keep marching. We cannot pretend we do not hear them. We have to answer the call.
The UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon also called for global action to address climate change. He said it threatens hard-won peace, prosperity, and opportunity for billions of people.
Climate change is a defining issue of our age. It's a defining our present. Our response will define our future.
Climate change ambassador Leonardo DiCaprio asked world leaders to insulate climate issues from politics. He said the phenomenon is no respecter of persons.
This is not a partisan debate. It is a human one. Clean air and a livable climate are inalienable human rights. And solving this crisis is not a question of politics. It is a question of our own survival.
Another climate ambassador, Li Bingjin, couldn't agree more with the earlier speakers. She noted that climate change issues must be a concern to all.
I remain optimistic that this climate summit will be about action and solutions as we pursue our common goal of a low carbon economy.
That was Li Bingjin, and a climate change ambassador at the UN summit.
Meanwhile, China has pledged for the first time to take firm action to tackle climate change, telling a UN summit it aims at making deep emissions reductions by 2020. Vice Premier Zhang Gaoli said China's carbon emissions, which is the world's highest, would soon peak. The summit is the largest high-level climate meeting since 2009. Hosted by UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, it aims to encourage 120 states to sign up to a comprehensive new climate change agreement talks in Paris next year.
And back home, the Anglican Education Unit have cautioned head teachers against renting out classrooms to churches for worship. This is because experience has shown that most of these worshippers do not take good care of the infrastructure, especially furniture. The Greater Accra Regional Manager of the unit, Alfred Adrirako, gave the advice when he presented 100 draw decks to 5 deprived schools in the region. Beneficiary schools include St. Innocent Basic School at Uduman, Bishop Mix Primary, Accra and Amasaman Sacred Heart Basic. The rest are St. Joseph A and B Primary and Good Shepherd Basic, Accra. He said funds for the decks were realized during his induction as regional manager. He urged Anglican school children to be sanitation conscious.
Moving the desk up and down, we get breakages, and therefore it becomes a problem to all of us. And therefore, we are insisting that we should encourage people worshiping in our schools, the sanitation. In the villages, we don't have much of a problem, but in our class schools and then in the urban areas, that's where we have a lot of problems with sanitation. And so we're talking to teachers about these things, and we're educating the children on how to keep the surroundings very clean.
Was the regional manager of Anglican schools, Alfred Adjirako, speaking at the presentation of 100 draw decks to 5 deprived schools in Greater Accra.
Supervision and monitoring are tools adopted by the Ghana Education Service to ensure that teachers, as well as pupils and students, comply with laid down procedures for teaching and learning. Rebecca Epekota put some officials of the whole education directorate during one of such monitoring visits and gathers that besides monitoring and supervision, some of the schools cited in deprived areas, such as Aklama Kweto MA Primary School in Ho in the Volta region, have extra needs.
We normally go around the schools to see what actually is happening on the ground.
When you say what is happening on the ground, what do you mean?
Whether the teachers resume or have reported, we see to it that they actually prepare their lesson notes, get ready for teaching learning activities in the school, and then the challenges they are facing in the schools.
Mr. Chikudo, may I ask if it's something that you do all the time, or there's a particular scenario for the Aklamakpetoy ME Primary School where you are currently located?
Aklamakpetoy, as we are all aware, is one of the remote schools in the whole municipality. municipality. And they are actually lacking so many things, like the furniture is also one of them. The classroom blocks are not up to the standard. Staffing is also a problem. According to the headmaster, they are even understaffed. They still need some teachers for the DSS. They didn't have adequate teaching learning materials as well.
TLMs is also a problem. Now, you are from the directorate, Mr. Chikudu. Yeah. You said they do not have teaching and learning materials. Is that not the responsibility of your department? Not directly, but I mean from the municipal office.
Yeah.
Why do they not have teaching and learning materials?
In fact, I am here with one of the senior officers. I am holding the municipal spread coordinator.
Head of service in the municipality.
What I'm picking from the ground where you are at the Aklamakpetoy MA Basic School is that there are no teaching and learning materials. Of course, the school is already in a remote area. What are you doing about this particular situation, Mr. Agbajete?
We are making arrangements for them to liaise with their sister schools to collect some of these teaching learning materials, especially textbooks. You know, the GSS is a newly established one, up to GSS 2. So we learned from the head that he has already started with one of the schools in town, that is Nive, to borrow some textbooks to be used in teaching the GSS. It's a deprived area, and it is not connected to the national grid, that is electricity, for them to maybe use laptop. They are in need of a solar laptop. And, you know, the captation grant is one of the areas where we can use money to buy these TLMs. And they have not accessed captation grants since last year.
Head of the supervisory unit of the Home Municipal Education Office, Ben Agbajete. Early on, you heard the Home Municipal Special Education Coordinator, Mike Chikudu, talking to Rebecca Ekpe. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Attorney General says maritime dispute between Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire should not be misconstrued as tension. President Mahama asks multinationals to establish manufacturing facilities in Africa to process raw materials. Vice President Emisa Afa lauds street naming exercise so far. Nigerian military confirms freeing some kidnapped Chibok girls. And China pledges reduction in carbon emission in support of actions against climate change. Please stay with us.
Welcome back. The national street naming and house numbering exercise by the government is expected to be completed by the end of the year. Vice President Kwesi Mis-Afa, who on arrival in Wa inspected some of the streets named, described as impressive the work done by the Wa municipality. He said it is critical for the exercise to be completed on schedule since it has numerous social and economic relevance to the development of the country. Three of the major streets have been named after three former heads of state. They are J.J. Rawlings, Ignatius Kutue Champong, and Dr. Hilary Mann, said AER reports.
This last year, President John Dramani Mahama tasked Metropolitan Municipal and District Chief Executives to attach seriousness to the street naming and house numbering exercise as it will form a critical component of their assessment and continuous stay in office. Since then, the Metropolitan Municipal and District Assemblies have been carrying out the exercise with the support of the Ministry of Local Government and Rural Development. Out of the 70 streets in the Wa municipality, 57 have been named, and the exercise is expected to be completed by the end of this month, while the house numbering will begin next month and also completed in December. Isahaku Nuhu Putiaba is the MCE for WA.
We currently numbering them too, but we believe before the end of this year, the houses will be appropriately numbered. On behalf of the people of the WA municipality and my big man here, that is our objective, sir.
Like, maintenance is one issue that bothers the assemblies. We have follow up from you. What measures have we put in place such that when the names peel off or fade out, they will be quickly replaced?
The committee is there. We've had a whole department, a whole laboratory that will be working 24 hours. So in case of any pill-off, the committee will always be there to make sure that is that.
The Minister of Local Government and Rural Development, Julius Debra, who explained the technology being used for the exercise, said the assemblies stand to gain more as it will improve their revenue generation.
Generally, we are numbering every property you see because we're using the satellite, the digital photography. It captures everything and then we transform it onto the mapping and then we do the data entry. So if you say I live in number 14, Bilal Inua Street, by click on the number in his office, he should be able to tell you exactly what the house is located. Now, the importance of what we're doing now is to show our willingness as a government to ensure that all streets and houses are numbered. It's not just the aesthetic side that people see that interests us, but what interests us most is that once we have a database, it will then enhance their revenue mobilization base. Yes, we'll be very happy by December they are all done with the house numbering. However, if for any reason they are not able to complete with the house numbering, we will not be too worried because the process is ongoing.
Vice President Inisafa said, street naming is one sure way of honoring people who have sacrificed their personal comforts to contribute to the development of the country.
What I think is impressive. They have started in a nice way, and I hope they will conclude with the numbering of the houses and will be able, when you register a phone, for example, will be able to put a house number on it, and that ultimately the postal services will be able to deliver letters to people in their houses, as is done in many places.
The good thing about naming the streets is fine, but in identifying the houses on the street, that's the main thing, so that people will have that ties to them, the house number and it. So the house numbering is a good development. They have honored important citizens who have contributed to the progress of this region. But we are waiting for the next step, which is the numbering of the houses, so that we know that number 14, Hila Liman Highway, is Amidi Slimani's house. Then we can link him to that. So this is just a beginning. We need to go to the next stage.
The Vice President later had a closed-door meeting with the WA Regional Police Command and the regional headquarters. From WA, State Ihiya, reporting for Radio Ghana.
Wife of the Vice President, Mrs. Matilde Miss Arthur, has bemoaned the waning reading interest among students. She said reading broadens a person's horizon and enables individuals to exploit their potential. Speaking at the launch of the second Library and Information Week in Accra, Mrs. Miss Arthur advised teachers, students and stakeholders to read frequently, saying it is the only way students can be encouraged to excel. Rosalind Glanaglo reports.
Libraries have been identified as key institutions in the educational system, but in recent years, patronage of libraries have gone down significantly, leading to low interest in reading. In order to reverse the trend, the Ghana Library Authority introduced the Library and Information Week celebration last year. During the week, reading clinics are held where school children are taught how to read. Mrs. Emisa Arthur emphasized the need to whip up the enthusiasm for reading among school pupils. She said it is only through reading that students can excel.
Every year we should set aside a week where we highlight reading, where we highlight books, where we tell the school children the importance of reading. Unfortunately, when we say reading, we think that reading just means picking a book and strictly going through it and reading from line to line. So for those of us who don't like reading, it scares us. But we are telling you that you can read in various forms. You can read through play. You can read through dance. You can read through storytelling. At the end of the DEC watching results, people feel over the last few years, what keeps coming is that the children do not answer the questions well. So this week, we are encouraging all of you to read. Those who schools have libraries, teachers, please don't lock up the books. Let the children read the books.
The Deputy Minister in charge of pre-tertiary education, Alex Treme, called on the Ghana Library Authority not to relent in its efforts at providing the necessary tools and skills despite the numerous challenges. He was quick to add that though it is believed that students' performance have gone down, some strides were made in last year's WASI and pledged the ministry's support for the Ghana Library Authority.
Many of our brothers and sisters who are in deprived areas are hungry for information which can only be satisfied with good public library system. We are also aware of the challenges that Ghana Library Authority is going through. I also urge you to make good use of these tools to teach our pupils how to read and how to access information. information for decision making. For the past 8 years, when Ghana decided to join the West Africa Examination Council to sit for West Africa School Certificate Examination, 2014 is our second best year, having scored 28%, 2011, that was the best year, 32%. To enable our children access special institutions.
President of the Ghana Library Association, Dr. Mrs. Perpetual Dazi, reiterated the need to redirect values to prioritize reading.
Rosalind Ghana Glows report.
The Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, plans to form a National Environmental Task Force to check environment and natural resource crimes. The Executive Director, Daniel Amlalo, said there is a need for state institutions to combine expertise, logistics, equipment, intelligence, and work together to protect the people and natural resources from both internal and external threats. Speaking at a workshop on national environment security, Mr. Amlalo explained that no single institution can tackle environmental issues alone. Nana Maumari reports.
Environmental issues cut across the daily activities of Ghanaians. The country loses 420 million cedis each year due to poor sanitation, not to mention water, air and land pollution, which results in serious health complications. The current environmental challenges poses serious risk to Ghana's future. The Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, therefore suggests that it will be more effective to deal with environmental issues as a united group than tackling it individually. As a result, the National Environmental Task Force will bring all state institutions to network their resources, capacities and intelligence together to fight against environment and natural resource crimes.
And I'm on my reporting.
The sole commissioner looking into the payment of judgment debts and related matters, Justice Yato, has expressed surprise at the response to a petition for compensation for an alleged land acquisition for the expansion project of the Abor Senior High School in Kete. He said the Attorney General, Ministry of Finance and Office of the President treated the petition without due process. Justice Yato expressed these sentiments at the commission sitting yesterday.
Two factions are currently claiming ownership of a land for an expansion project for the Abor Senior High School in Kete in the Volta region. One of the claimants petitioned the Office of the President. The petition was then forwarded to the Attorney General's Department and the Ministry of Finance for action. A favorable response was given, regretting the delay in payment of compensation on the said land to the petitioner. The sole commissioner, Justice Yao Apau, was surprised that the content of the response did not show any effort made to verify the true ownership of the land and how it was acquired.
When the petitioners petitioned the president, the responses from the presidency, the AG's office, and then the Minister of Finance strengthened them to pursue this action. Because when the petition was written, instead of maybe referring the matter to the appropriate institution, like the Lands Commission, find out whether indeed the state did acquire this land, you know, the intention of paying compensation, nothing was done. The chief director at the chief of staff office just responded, and the response was as if they were pitying the petitioners, as if the state owed them and the state had not paid them, so steps should be taken to pay them. When we have not done anything to find out whether...
In that was Cynthia Boateng's report.
Some of the nearly 200 schoolgirls that were kidnapped in Nigeria in April by Boko Haram have been freed. The Nigerian Army spokesman, Brigadier General Chris Olukolade, said the exercise is ongoing but did not specify the number of girls freed who are reported to be currently held in a barracks. Boko Haram, a radical group aiming to create an Islamic State in mainly Muslim northern Nigeria, abducted more than 200 girls.
Now to other news, the main points again. The Attorney General and Minister of Justice, Marietta Duapiopong, has downplayed reports of rising tension between Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire after Ghana filed a lawsuit against Cote d'Ivoire. She said the maritime dispute between the two countries should not be misconstrued. President Mahama has assured the international investors of enormous investment prospects in Africa. According to him, leaders on the continent are doing their best to create the kind of environment that is necessary to attract investors to the continent for accelerated growth. The news was presented by Abraham Donko
and Rosemary Gazy in Accra.